U.S. Army Corps of Engineers decides to ship contaminated soil out of Haines when it cleans up a decades-old fuel spill. And a new book by a Juno author explores the complicated relationship between humans and bears. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. Last year, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced plans to begin cleanup of a fuel spill site alongside the Haines Highway. Initially, they planned to treat the soil at another site on the Chilkat River. But contaminated soil will be excavated and shipped out of the community. The U.S. Army built a pipeline to carry fuel over 600 miles from Haines to Fairbanks in the 1950s. While it was in service, there were numerous spills. One of them occurred around milepost 15 on the Haines Highway. Now, over 50 years later, the Army Corps of Engineers will begin cleaning up the contamination along the road and the Chilkat River. Anne-Marie Palmieri is the project manager for the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, the agency in charge of regulating the cleanup.
So this action is really geared towards protecting the river. It's removal of the most contaminated soil, reducing as much as we can at this time the amount of contamination that's going from the soil into the groundwater and into the river.
This spring, they hope to remove as much as 17,500 tons of contaminated soil from the area. The Army Corps had planned to treat the soil through a process called land farming at a different location near the Chilkat River. Local residents raised concerns that it would contaminate the natural habitat, so they changed their plans in response.
The contaminated soil will be transported to LUTAC Dock, and it will be stockpiled there until they have a large enough volume that they can put it on a barge and then send it to Juneau.
When the soil arrives in Juneau, it will be treated through land farming and then used as cover for the city's landfill. Palmieri says once the excavation is complete, there will still be some contamination remaining beneath the highway and to the south of the excavation.
This is actually just an interim removal action. So this is just it's like taking a bite out of the apple. So what they're going to do is they're going to remove as much soil as they can. And then after that, we will look at those concentrations and they will probably do some type of ecological risk evaluation. And then we'll continue to monitor the groundwater.
In addition to removing soil, crews will add oxygen-releasing compounds to the excavation east of the highway before backfilling to encourage natural processes that reduce the harm of remaining contaminants. They will also introduce an additive called Petrifix to the trench dug to the west of the highway to help bind petroleum and prevent it from moving toward the river. According to the Army Corps' final environmental assessment, the excavation is anticipated to take up to 12 weeks during the spring, summer, and possibly fall of this year. A final work plan still needs to be approved by DEC. Groundwater and surface water monitoring of the site is expected to last through 2024. A new book by Juno writer and wilderness guide Bjorn Dilla is about to hit the shelves. A Shape in the Dark is a portrait of brown bears and their complex relationship with humans. It combines a sweeping historical perspective with the Alaska author's personal experiences living and working around brown bears. He sat down with Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick to discuss his effort.
You know, so bears are pretty celebrated in Alaska, especially brown bears. But as you write in your book and you show historically, that wasn't the case. It wasn't very long ago, actually. And some of the attitudes during territorial days, it was like a zero-sum game. It was them or us. You know, brown bears were seen as this impediment to development or even human habitation. Can you talk a little bit about that part of the story?
Yeah, not, you know, a lot of the book, you know, kind of it begins with Meriwether Lewis and covers westward expansion. And that attitude of zero tolerance, no room for bears is very prevalent. And I think one of the most interesting things about Alaska is that we are, I'm not going to say that we're like in an enlightened age, but we have enough varying opinions and different ideas and perspectives to accommodate brown bears, which is really remarkable. You know, and like during the territorial days, you know, Almaty Island's just such a good example of, you know, the head biologist for the Forest Service in, you know, the early 1930s, late 1920s, I think his name was Jay Williams, he recommended killing all the brown bears to make it safer to clear cut log Almaty Island. And like, you know, that's like that sort of idea today is just, you know, people would say that's insane.
Yeah, because a lot of the book, you're describing some pretty intense experiences of being in their territory and feeling physically afraid. But as you get more experience as someone in the wilderness, what are some of the techniques you learned to de-escalate your encounters and avoid things from going south?
I mean, the first thing is just being aware of, you know, when you're in bear country, how to travel safely through it. But I'd say probably the most interesting thing I learned over the years with bears as far as de-escalating scenarios is just how incredibly responsive they are to being talked to your body language. You just have to remember, like, these animals communicate 98% through body language. So the way you hold yourself is critical. And honestly, in my opinion, they respond better. They're better listeners than people.
Yeah, when you're hiking alone and you see a lot of bear sign, what are some of the things you do?
You know, the first thing that you got to remember with bears is they don't like surprises. If I can have the wind on my back, that's ideal. But the other thing that you got to remember to do is make noise. You know, not bells or anything like that. Your voice.
In the book, you discuss 80s power ballads. Do you have any examples?
That was early on, and that was as much for myself as for the bears as a young man.
Can you give me a song title?
Oh man, probably REO Speedwagon, Keep On Loving You, but that got me in trouble too. So.
Hey Bjorn, thanks for taking the time to sit down with Coast Alaska.
Thanks for having me, I appreciate it.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to the news anywhere you get your podcasts.